Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Applied Clinical Trials podcast. I am Andy Studna, Senior Editor of ACT. On this episode of the ACT podcast, I speak with David Nickerson, Head of Clinical Quality Management at EMD Serono, and Arlene Lee, Director of Product Management, Data Quality, and Risk Management Solutions at Medidata. David and Arlene discuss the newest ICH E6 R3 GCP guidelines, as well as how Transcelerate and Acro have partnered to help stakeholders better acclimate to these guidelines. They also share their own recommendations for best practices in risk management and data governance. Dave and Arlene, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Andy.
That would be great. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, so the first question, I want to throw this one over to Arlene. Could you tell our audience a bit about the new tools developed by Transcelerate and Acro to help stakeholders better align with the newest ICH guidelines?
Yeah, absolutely, Andy. So in January 2025, the International Council for Harmonization finalized the ICH E6 R3 Good Clinical Practice, or GCP, guidelines, enhancing flexibility and applicability in response to the ever-evolving clinical trial designs and many numerous data sources. So the revision aims to strengthen the risk-based approaches, ensure data integrity, and maintain participant safety while also addressing modern trial complexities and continuing to emphasize quality by design, proportionality, and adaptability. Now, to support the implementation of these new guidelines, a collaborative cross-industry initiative was created by Transcelerate to develop practical solutions to address these complex or difficult to operationalize areas of E6 R3 that were identified by the member companies. These efforts focused on six key areas of the guidelines, including trial design, risk proportionality, monitoring, investigators, and Transcelerate and the Association of Clinical Research Organizations, also known as ACRO, co-led two solutions in two areas for risk management and data governance. Now, these tools span the clinical trial lifecycle from planning and preparation through to execution and data collection, and can be found on the Transcelerate website in the ICH E6 Asset Library. In addition, on March 4th, the Transcelerate and ACRO team members also produced a webinar with detailed introduction to the E6 R3 guidelines and also instructions on how to utilize these new tools within your organizations. And that link can also be found on the Transcelerate website.
Hey, great. Thank you, Arlene. Now, for this next question, this is going to be for Dave. What specifics about the new ICH global guidelines made you feel it was necessary to develop tools like these? And then the second part of this question, what was the process like in actually developing them?
Thank you, Andy. I think it's important to start by pointing out that ICH E6 R3, this latest revision, unlike R2, is a significant rewrite of the entire document. With the development of ICH E6 R3, the team really sought to introduce much greater flexibility into the guideline, flexibility that would allow those planning and conducting clinical trials to take a much more risk-based and proportionate approach in order to ensure that ultimately we're prioritizing those activities that have the greatest possibility to impact patient safety and data reliability. Bridging from ICH E8 R1, we've also introduced the concept of quality by design and placed a much heavier emphasis on gathering input from interested parties as an opportunity to strengthen the design of our clinical trials, but to also ensure that we are adopting appropriate methods and procedures for the operationalization of those trials. Finally, I'd like to call out that there's an entirely new chapter which has been introduced into the Good Clinical Practice Guideline, which is related to data governance, focusing in on the data and the associated flow and the importance of maintaining the integrity of those data, while also providing guidelines related to the use and the management of the computerized systems or other digital health, digital technology type tools associated with the handling of those data. At the end of the day, much of the new information within the guideline is presented in a way where critical thinking skills are necessary and where judgment is required. Judgment to decide what is critical to quality, judgment to decide on the most appropriate ways to manage those critical factors in order to ensure that ultimately the clinical trial is delivering reliable results in a manner which also serves to protect the safety of those individuals who are participating in the clinical trials. And it's given this subjective nature of many of these different concepts, like risk-based proportionality and fit for purpose, that we felt it would be very important. We, from a TransLRA point of view, felt it would be very important to support the industry, to support the clinical trial enterprise, really, with guidance that would allow them to be better positioned to interpret in the real-world setting how these different concepts should be interpreted and applied. As it relates to the process for actually developing those tools, Arlene, maybe you can pick up on that point.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, a quick intro. So TransLRate and ACRO are both nonprofit organizations that are really dedicated to enhancing the development of new treatments and therapies, improving efficiencies, and really enhancing the overall quality of clinical research. TransLRate member companies include biopharmaceutical and pharma companies, while ACRO represents global clinical research and technology companies. So ACRO and TransLRate have been formally collaborating since 2015. Subject matter experts from both organizations do meet regularly to exchange insights and contribute to projects such as this together. By having this varied expertise, we are really able to effectively produce materials that are useful across all areas of the industry.
All right, great. Thank you both. Now, Dave, going to go back to you for this next question. What is the importance of leveraging shared expertise and collaboration in the clinical research industry when it comes to adopting new elements or changes such as these new guidelines?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think the opportunity that TransLRate provides to us is that we do have that the benefit of being able to bring together individuals with varied backgrounds, various experience, various levels of expertise to collectively share in that wisdom and to collectively decide on how best these revised guidelines might be both interpreted, but how they might also be best adopted in a manner that not only allows the industry to deliver the expectations, the expected value that is associated with the changes in the guidelines, but to do so in a manner that allows us to be more harmonized and more aligned from an implementation point of view.
For this final question, as we move forward with even more new advancements in technology and data, how important is it for stakeholders to focus on some of the things that we talked about, such as risk management and data governance? And then finally, are there any specific strategies or best practices that either of you would recommend to them?
I think to start with here, it's important to point out that as individuals, as parties are reviewing the new good clinical practice guideline and as they're preparing for their adoption, it's most important for those folks to ground themselves in the GCP principles. Annex 1 goes into quite a bit of detail regarding how those GCP principles may be best fulfilled. But it's always important to ensure that as you're looking to interpret the guideline and to determine the most appropriate methods to take with their adoption, it's important to ground yourselves in those principles. Now, from a technology and a data point of view, I would highlight that it's important to focus on those elements of technology and those data which are ultimately critical to quality in the context of either managing the safety of the participants in the clinical trials and related to the management of the integrity and the reliability of the data from those trials. This comes into play with regards to computerized systems and ensuring that those systems are designed to be fit for purpose, to serve the purpose that they are intended to, in relation to the outcome of the clinical trial, as well as to ensure that those data, especially focusing on the critical data, are ultimately reliable to the extent that they can, allow the investigator to answer those questions that are so important in relation to the purpose of the clinical trial. So risk management certainly plays an important part in ensuring that ultimately our plans to operationalize the trial run to fruition. Again, focusing on those data and those processes and those associated technologies that are critical to the trial, we should be proactively evaluating the related risks and identifying those risks which ultimately have the greatest possibility of having an impact on the reliability of our trial and the safety of our participants. This concept, this consideration of being fit for purpose and risk-based, I think extends into that data governance space, again, where you're focusing on the data and the associated data flow, the various steps associated with the handling of those data, considering how, where, and when there may be issues which occur that could ultimately impact the reliability of the data. And again, the same thing applies to those computerized systems. So understanding which of those computerized systems are truly critical to quality in relation to that clinical trial and ensuring that the level of validation, the level of management of access for those computerized systems are being handled with an appropriate degree of care.
Yeah, and I certainly agree with everything that you've mentioned, Dave. And if I can really key in on the risk management and data governance piece, you know, as clinical research continues to evolve with all of these, you know, enhanced and new technologies, AI, and all of these new data streams coming in from all the wearables, there really is a need for robust risk management and data governance, probably more than ever before. And so with the new guidelines really reinforcing the risk-based approaches, you know, stakeholders really need to proactively address risks that are tied to data integrity, to patient safety, and also regulatory compliance. I think that the implementation of the holistic risk-based quality management framework is critical. It's something that our industry has been a bit slow to adapt at times, but I think is really gaining some steam. But really identifying, assessing, mitigating risks proactively from study startup, trial design through execution, all the way through reporting is really key to a successful trial. As far as like the data governance, you know, policies, I know some of the tools we developed. Developed six tools for the data governance piece because it is pretty critical. This new section that they've pulled together, even though pieces of it were part of the old R2, there really is an emphasis on strong data governance policy. So understanding the data capture, the validation, storage, all, you know, the sharing across all the stakeholders, understanding that true life cycle of the data is really key to our member companies and the industry in general. And lastly, I would say just some final thoughts. Risk management, data governance, they're not just regulatory check boxes. These are really now business imperatives. It really drives the efficiency, the trust, and compliance in clinical research. So organizations really need to invest in proactive risk-based approaches and strong data governance frameworks, and that'll really best position them to adapt to all of these exciting future innovations.
All right, fantastic. Well, Dave and Arlene, it was great speaking with both of you today. And once again, thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.